his power.
This afternoon, giving all honor and all praise to Almighty God, who is certainly the head of my life, being mine. Recognizing my pulpit associates, Reverend MacMillan, Minister Riley, Reverend Wife, and my beautiful, beautiful church family. It's an honor, a privilege, and as always, it's an awesome, awesome, awesome responsibility to confess the word of God. Let us go to God in prayer. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord, as your servant submits. Speak, Lord, for we are in need of a word. Speak, Lord, for someone came expecting. Jesus. Speak, Lord, for someone knows not what to do until you come. Speak, Lord. Jesus. Take control, Lord. Take control of me. Take control of my mind. Take control of my body and my soul, Lord God, and have your way, Lord. But speak a word. Take whatever you've had me to read and to study, Lord, and do with it what you wish, Lord,
yes,
but
God.
Speak a word.
Speak a word, Lord.
We need to hear from you. Have your way in this place, in this vessel,
yes, sir, God.
On this day. In Jesus' name we pray. This afternoon, we will continue a sermon that I did several weeks back, and of course, we're still on, I guess for the last couple of months, we've been on the topic, Bible studies and all other studies around in sermons. We've been on the, talking about a fresh new look at the Christian journey, so still, we're under that super topic, but I want to continue to a degree a sermon that I did, I guess, 3 weeks ago, which was Divine Encounters. Mm-hmm. So we could call this Divine Encounters 2, and then you could put a colon there, and the specific topic would be One with the Lord. One with the Lord. We had a scripture read this morning coming from 2 John, and it was read 1 through 9, and I just want to repeat that verse and two other verses, which may not see the relationship right away, but you will, with the help of God, you will see where we're going. So I want to read just the 9th verse of 2 John. It says, whosoever transgresseth, that means to sin, to get outside of the commands of God, whoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ have not God. Mm. That's just straight to the point.
Yeah.
He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he have both the Father and the Son. Then, if you're not looking at them, you can write them down. Mm-hmm. The next scripture is Hebrew chapter 6, and I'm just read the first verse out of that. You can read further down, at least read to verse 3, 1 through 3, but I'm just read 1. It says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Mm-hmm. And the final scripture comes from Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And it reads thusly, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. The focal parts of that comes from in the first chapter, Hebrews 6, 1, says, let us go on unto perfection. Mm-hmm. In Acts 2, 42, it said, they continued steadfastly. Mm-hmm. I just want you to highlight those two sections, if you would. So here we are again on a communion Sunday, as we call this day in. It gives us another chance to move a little closer to the Lord.
Yes.
When I was studying, I ran across a song, old song, we used to sing it in the mail. Of course, it said, I'm working on a building. It's a true foundation. Mm-hmm. I'm holding up the blood-stained banner of the Lord. Goes on and said, I would never get tired. We get tired sometimes. I heard somebody say this morning that they were in Sunday school that get tired sometimes. Songwriter says, I never get tired of working on the building because I'm going up to heaven to get my reward. When I preached three Sundays ago on this topic, we talked about the times that we live in, these busy times and amidst chaos and confusion. A world that seems sometimes stranger than fiction. It'd be easier sometimes just to believe what somebody tells you or believe something that you see than to really believe what's going on sometimes, because it's stranger than fiction. But in the midst of all of this, God still desires to have an intimate relationship with each one of us.
Amen.
He still has personal encounters with his children, with his people. And sometimes he comes, as I said earlier this morning, in the midst of your trials and your tribulation, and you may be going through something, sometimes he comes to comfort you. And sometimes he comes to encourage, to tell you just keep on keeping on. Just keep putting one foot in front of the other. Just And at other times he comes to guide or convict us of sin. Sometimes he just comes and just sheds light when you thought something was so heavy that you would never be able to get from under it, and then all of a sudden God just sheds light.
Yes.
But you see, we can't manipulate or create these divine encounters when God will come, but we can certainly make ourselves available to him.
Oh yes.
I think we said live so that God can use you. We established that true Christians, according to the Bible, are disciples of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You know, place your faith in the Lord, and it's like a child placing a faith in their mother, their father. They believe they can do anything. And when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, he truly can
Yes.
do anything.
Mm-hmm.
a true Christian disciple has been born again by the power of the Holy Spirit. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
That's right.
A true Christian disciple belongs to Christ. And every day he's being transformed into the likeness of Christ. Every day. A true Christian disciple is a believer in Christ and possesses new life through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but the Christ that's within me.
Yes.
The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Then finally, we established that there is a difference between practicing Christianity and being a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
One involves a divine encounter, and the other only requires a profession. That's the way the world operates. I am what I say I am.
All right.
That's right.
No, you are what you are. So what we're going to try to do, well, hopefully God will show us how, is that today we will be able to, if we need to, find this power
mm-hmm.
all over again, that he will give us a fresh renewal of power. And if we never really experienced power, hopefully he will give us a brand new power. But as we go through this world that is sometimes so hard to separate what's real
mm-hmm.
from what's only pretending
right.
to be real.
So.
That's right.
So it's imperative that we know that God is real.
Yes, he is.
Somebody say, how do you know that he's real? Because he's real in my soul.
Yes.
Say so.
See, if you can't say that he's real because I can feel him in my soul, then you don't really know what it is to
yes.
to operate under the power of the Holy Ghost. He's real.
Yes, sir.
And he may not be there all the time, but sometime late in the midnight hour
yes,
or when
sir.
You're all by yourself, all alone, and you're going through the what ifs and why me and all those other things, and when you can feel the power of Almighty God lift you up and elevate your spirit. And you say, I know he's real.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
I don't know about all the rest of this stuff and what's going on, but I do know that my God is real because
yes.
he can fortify me right
yes.
in the midst of a storm. And when I think that everything has gone wrong, then my God can renew me. Yes, he's real. The scriptures that we looked at, the first two scriptures, Hebrew and Acts,
mm-hmm.
they talk about events that constitute a way of living. And the third scripture, which was read earlier this morning in the ninth verse that I reread, is it gives us a warning.
Mm-hmm.
A warning that's sober and simple. Acts 2:42 said, and they continued in the apostles' doctrine and
mm-hmm.
fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Hebrew said, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Let me just tell you about the doctrine of Christ.
All right.
If you look at 1 Corinthians 15, start at the third verse, early in the chapter, it says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins,
yes,
according to the scriptures,
mm-hmm,
and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures.
Yes.
And if you look at the end of that chapter, 15:58, it says, therefore, my brethren, be steadfast. Unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, and for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That chapter, when it talks about the doctrine of Christ, it talks about Jesus and what he did, how he came and bled and died and rose on the third day. He was resurrected. It tells the whole story. It goes all the way to how it benefits us and
amen,
how we gain victory,
yes,
mm-hmm,
over death.
Yes. Thank you.
The doctrine of Christ. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
And then almost every first Sunday, I somehow will allude to 1 Corinthians 11. And that's when Paul reminds us all that this do in remembrance,
uh-huh,
of Christ.
Yes. Yes.
See, that goes deeper sometimes than we think about, but it says this do, the what we drink and what we eat, it says do this in remembrance of him. And when you remember, it should be a deeper realization. It should be something more than just your head knowledge. It ought to be something that can elevate your spirit, something that will make you know that it's something about it. It's no magic in what's under this. The magic is in the elevation. The magic is when you get out of the way and let the Spirit of God have his way within you. Then you are able to access a power. Hallelujah. But Paul says that, he says, but let us leave the elementary things,
uh-huh,
and
yeah,
let us go on to perfection.
Yes.
In other words, let us be persistent. Let us,
uh-huh,
keep right on trying to gain as,
yeah,
much as God has for us. Let us go on to perfection. It's not enough that I can just get the basic elements of,
yes,
God's glory. I want all that God has to give to me. I want all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Let us go on to perfection. Tired of,
yes,
going through and smiling 1 minute and crying the next, and
right,
solving a problem and having another one. But let,
yes,
me go on to perfection, where I can live in the power of Almighty God.
Come on now.
Let us go on to perfection. And then the other scripture, 2:42, Acts 2:42.
Mm-hmm.
That scripture is relates to the day of Pentecost.
All right,
now. Yeah. It talks, you remember the day of Pentecost. And
all right.
Back up a minute on chapter 2, and it says that when the day of Pentecost was fully come. They were all in one accord, in one place, like we are.
Yeah.
We got the first part all down pat because we in one place.
In one place.
I don't know if we on one accord or not, but work asks God to help you
help,
so we can
Lord.
Get on one accord. Because the Bible says when they were on one accord in one place, then suddenly there came a sound from heaven of a mighty rushing wind.
Uh-huh.
It filled the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it began to set on each of them. And, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And,
all filled.
And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit, gave them utterance.
Uh-huh. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah,
somebody wondering now, what, how does those two scriptures come together? And I'm glad you ask. You see, the commonality of the two events, there's at least three things common in those events.
Okay.
You see, one, they both occurred when the disciples of Christ were gathered in one place, and they were all on one accord. The second thing, they both call on us to remember important events. At the Last Supper, the disciples witnessed the end of the Messiah's earthly ministry as he asked them to remember him after his death until he comes again. And at Pentecost, the disciples witnessed the birth of the New Testament church in the coming of the Holy Spirit to indwell all believers. Three, they both involve a divine encounter.
All right.
Let me tell you about a divine encounter. See, a divine encounter is when you can sense the presence of the Lord. When you can sense the presence of the Lord. A divine encounter is when you can experience the moving of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
A divine encounter is when you are able to exhibit the power of God. I want you to hear me, because nobody can tell you where you've been. Nobody can tell you what you have experienced.
That's right.
Only you and God knows. Some of us may have never experienced the fullness of God because some of us have never given in to God. And I want God to come when I call him, but I want him to operate like I want him to operate. I want him to help me. I don't want him to get in me.
Come on now.
Somebody heard me.
Yes, yes.
But see, a divine encounter is when you can exhibit. It's divine encounters when you can go around other people and people can see something in you. You may not even know that they see it, but they say it's something about that person that I cannot explain, but it's something about them that... Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
The Bible, 242 Acts says, continue steadfast. In other words, relate to what God can do. Relate to what you've seen God do in the past. Relate to God in your life in the past and continue steadfast. You say, I can remember. I'm talking about me now. And when you say, I can remember one day, or I can remember times in the past that I was so high up on God that nothing could touch me. I just felt like everything was going my way because God was large and God was in control. And all you got to do is realize that all you got to do is go back. God didn't go anywhere. If you lost that feeling, if you're not able to operate in power, it's not because God went anywhere. It's because you moved.
All right now.
Continue. Steadfastly. I'm determined to get everything that God has for me.
Yes.
I'm building on a true foundation. Hebrews 6, 1 says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Let me tell you a little something about a foundation. And you see, when he talked about that foundation, he said that foundation that we're talking about is the repentance of dead works. You know, you ask God to forgive your sins and our faith toward God. That's elementary. The doctrine of baptism, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment, but that is a foundation. Have you ever seen anybody build a house or a building?
Jesus.
And they lay a foundation.
Yes, indeed.
And depending on how tall they want to make that building, they dig deeper. If you want to build a building that reaches heaven, you're going to have to go deep with a foundation. You're going to have to make sure that your foundation is sturdy. If you're going to try to reach high, you have to have a sturdy foundation.
That's right.
So here in Hebrews, the writer says, let us have our foundation, but then let us go on to perfection. Hallelujah. Let me put these all together here now. You see, throughout the Bible, even from the times of Adam and Eve that we talked about this morning, Cain and Noah and Abraham and Moses, that man has had many encounters with God. In the New Testament Gospels, according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it records man having interaction with Jesus. And in the Old Testament, there are many recorded instances of the Spirit of God falling upon man. But in chapter 2 of Acts, something different happens. Something that never had happened before. Something that's still here for us today, or should I say someone? If we continue steadfast, if we are determined to go on to perfection, and at Pentecost, it gave us the ability to make this something different.
All right now.
See, communion is now something different. It gives us the opportunity to feel the power of Almighty God. For at Pentecost, he stopped falling upon people, but he indwells people now.
Yes.
You know, when somebody says they're full of the Holy Ghost, if truly they are full of the Holy Ghost, you will see it exhibited in what they do. Mm-hmm. You will see it exhibited in what they say.
Come on now.
Sometimes people say they full of the Holy Ghost. They full of something. Yes. But when you're full of the Holy Ghost, you can sense, you can feel, you can exhibit the power of God. Let me try to bring this all together and wrap it up. You see, all power belongs to God.
Amen.
Some of us think we got power. Some of us think we can do anything. Mm-hmm. Only I can do it.
Heard that.
So some of us really think that we have power, but only God has power.
Yes. Only God.
But God can empower us. Now, we can operate under the influence of the Holy Spirit, or we can operate in the power of God. Mm-hmm. Many of us are influenced by the power of God, but few of us actually operate in the power of God.
All right, then.
Because most of us will not give in and say, Lord, I can do nothing.
All right.
Lord, I'm in control of nothing. I got a good job. I got a nice house. I got a nice car. So look, surely I'm in charge of something, but we don't like to admit that we're really in charge of nothing. Anything you have, anything you can do, it comes from Him. So most of us don't give in enough to let the power of God operate in us. The power to be one with God. Let me show you something real quick here. In the Gospel according to John, chapter 17 and 3, he speaks of eternal life. Mm-hmm. And 17:3 says, eternal life is to know Jesus. Mm-hmm. I want to explain that. Just bear with me a minute. The word for know, there is G-O-S-C-O. G-H-I-N. How you pronounce it? O-C-E-K-O. It actually spells G-I-N-O-S-K-O. But you know, sko, it says it's a plurality of a primary verb. It's hard to try to define it, but what it's saying is that this verb, when you use the Greek that they try to explain it, it says that it's something that transcends your mind. It's something that you don't just know because I remember it or know because it's in my head, but I know because it's a part of me. And this is eternal life, that I know Jesus. Some will say, I know Jesus. His mama was Mary. His father was God. He had Aunt Elizabeth. But that's not what we're talking about. When you know Jesus,
yes,
when the Spirit of God comes upon you and reveals to you,
yes,
who Jesus is, mm-hmm, then you know.
Jesus.
Then you know.
Then you become one with God. Mm. So let us stop going over the basics of Christianity again and again. Let us go instead and become mature in our understanding. We don't need to start all over again.
Come on now.
We just need to drill our foundation deeper. We just need to go on.
Yes.
To perfection.
Yes.
And then finally, 2 John 1:9 says, so whosoever transgresseth sins departs from the commands of God and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son.
All right.
The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved,
yes,
it is the power of God.
Power.
Have you ever wondered what would happen if all of us truly commune with each other on one accord, praying for the same thing, concerned about each other, loving each other like we ought, and then the Holy Ghost communes with us all. That's what happened on that day of Pentecost. If we can just get our minds set where God could use us all and make us love each other, because all of us are not easy to love.
No.
Y'all
agree? But if we all put our focus on him, even the ones, the mean ones, the ones that you can't stand, if we could get them to focus on God, then the Holy Ghost would pull us all together. If today, when we take communion, if we just try for the 2 or 3 minutes that it will take to clear our mind, work. I'm going to let that sit there for a minute. Because I see a lot of people sitting out there right now and saying, it's going to be tough. But to clear your mind of work, then to try to clear your mind of all of those family problems, all of those people that you wish, I just wish that they could get it. I just wish that they could do better. I just wish that their life could change. I just wish.
Amen.
I could just, but forget about it. Forget about that child for a minute that know twice as much as you do and have only been living 1/4 as long. Just forget about it for a minute.
Just 1 minute.
Forget about that sister that is going astray and don't want to do right, but just forget about it for a minute and concentrate on him. And say, Lord, you promised.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, you said you would never leave us alone. Lord, you said that you could do all things. And right now, we're submitting to you. We're submitting, Lord. Move anything that blocks a perfect worship of you. Move it out of my mind, Lord. Set me free just for a minute so that I can feel like nothing else is going on but you and me, so that I can have a perfect communion with you and a perfect communion with the rest of your children.
Jesus.
Just one moment. When I think about the goodness of God and all that He's done for me.
Yes.
Just let your soul cry out.
Ah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, sir.
For saving me. Thank you, Lord, for being there when I call on you. Thank you, Lord, for setting me free.
Yes,
thank you, Lord, that you are in charge.
Yes,
let us just concentrate on Him. One with Him. We will let go.
Yes, sir.
And let God have His way in us.
Jesus.
Then we can become one with God. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for putting up with us.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord, for going to the same place with us over and over again when we have a problem and we give it to you, and before we can get out of the first prayer, we turn it back with us again.
God, help.
Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to release and let you have your way, Lord. Help us, Lord, to have the mindset that you are sovereign, that you know everything that goes on, Lord, and that you can handle whatever I may be going through. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Touch our children. And make them know that you are God and you are God all by yourself. Touch us, Lord. Touch us right now, Lord, and guide us and direct us, Lord, as we submit that we can be your hands in a lost world. Help us, Lord, to do what you would have us to do, Lord, even when it does not seem convenient. Help us, Lord. Somebody is crying. Somebody needs a touch from someone in this group.
Yes, sir, God.
Just a simple word to say, you are not forgotten. We love you. God still loves you. Use me, Lord.
Yes, sir, God.
As your hands. Use me, Lord. As your feet. We pray now, Lord, that as we submit, you would take control. It's in Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you, God.